Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Carol Masser. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
This is Taking Stock. I'm Pim Fox. Speaking with Vinny Catalano. He is the president of Global Investment Strategist, also with Blue Marble Research, joining me in the studio. And joining us on the Ring Central phone line from New York, Don Rissmiller. He is a partner and chief economist at Strategus Research Partners. Don, great to have you with us joining the conversation. What can you tell us about the recent spate of economic news in the United States? Does that tell you that we're going to grow in the United States maybe 4% for 2014?
Well, good afternoon, Pim, and thanks for having me on here. And it's a great question. 4%'s a bit aggressive. Look, the third quarter saw growth at that pace, but that's a single quarter annualized. If we look back over the past few quarters, we've fluctuated around 2. We had a 4.1%, we had a 2.5%, we had a 1.1%, we had something close to flat this time last year. So I think it's fair to say we've had a run of pretty good data, but what that's done is it's allowed monetary policy to take a small step towards some sort of normalization, and it's a very small step, but still, look at what we're seeing in terms of long-term interest rates. They're rising. So maintaining a 4% type of pace of growth might be tough in that type of environment, but I think it's fair to say some of the big downside risks, some of the things that were giving us near flat readings a year ago, have passed to some extent. So there's less risk coming out of Washington. It looks like the systemic risk that's come from fiscal policy drag has started to ebb. And as we see that, we can expect some momentum in the economy.
So does that momentum in the economy translate into greater momentum for U.S. equity prices?
Well, there's some, but equities have done a good job discounting some of what the economy looks like it's doing right now. In other words, the economy is picking up because of parts of the puzzle like capital spending, which we saw some good durable orders numbers this week. We've seen housing start to pick up. We've seen consumer spending plod along. And there's been an okay growth rate around 1.4%, but that's not anything to really write home about. And so the things that will drive growth, the pent-up demand that we see in the economy, could come from the sections of the economy in the durables space that are going to require some business spending. Companies have been able to grow a little bit, buy back some stock, and do okay. Going forward, it's probably going to be more of a competitive equilibrium, those type of business spending actions, CapEx, hiring, travel, advertising, those are going to need to take place, which is normal. But it may not be quite the same environment we've seen, which has been pretty good.
Vinny, there's a competition when it comes to where to put your money. You can have people give you all the right reasons to invest in U.S. stocks, global equities, emerging markets, and so on. One of the things we look at is relative value. And consistently, I keep hearing about how emerging markets on a relative basis are worth buying right now. What are your thoughts?
That is an excellent point, Pim. They are, on a relative basis, more attractive than in most cases developed economies, and in particular the United States. The issue is whether or not there are hidden problems that are much more substantial coming from those parts of the world, and or that money that flows to those kind of markets, emerging markets specifically, is now starting to gravitate away from emerging markets and more towards frontier markets.
So they're looking for even greater risk.
That is correct. There's a certain mindset to the kind of investor that goes into those kind of markets that looks for more hot, more trendy type of areas to be invested in. And so frontier markets seem to be, I'm hearing it at conferences that I attend
right.
and participate in, that they're starting to push a little bit more into that direction, which means the money gets shifted away from emerging markets and more towards the frontier markets.
Does that tell you that, generally speaking, markets are going to go higher, stocks are going to go higher? Because, you know, boy, if there are people out there who are saying, look, I want more risk, you know.
Well, that could be, and that's called a melt-up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you can get something like that. It would not be good overall for investors if that's the environment that we ended up morphing into. So I hope that that isn't what this all translates to.
All right, we're going to continue the conversation with Vinny Catalano. He is the global investment strategist and president of Blue Marble Research. Also with us, Don Rissmiller, partner, Strategus Research Partners. This is Taking Stock on Bloomberg. This is Taking Stock. I'm Pim Fox. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio. I'm speaking with Vinny Catalano. He is the president and global investment strategist for Blue Marble Research. Vinny joins us in the studio and on the Ring Central phone line from New York, Don Rissmiller. He's the partner and the chief economist of Strategus Research Partners. Vinny, I wanted to just continue a little bit more on your theme here.
It's 557
about
on Wall Street.
Emerging markets, because you said earlier that people were moving from emerging markets to frontier markets. What gives them the confidence to do that?
It goes back to a point that you had made earlier, which is that in the case of those type of investors that tend to be a little bit more on the professional, investor side, it's that they're looking for trends and themes that function over a relatively short period of time. And you get quite a bit of money that flows into those kind of markets, thereby generating the, quote, hot money. And
hot money is money that comes and goes quickly.
That is correct. And a lot of hedge fund money and a lot of shorter term hedge fund money kind of plays in that space. So it you had referenced before a game and that kind of thing. There is quite a bit of a games mentality to a lot of investing, much to the contrary of what investment in economic theory tells you would be the case. It tends not to be, not in the professional investor world anyway.
Don Rissmiller, can you just give us a look at the game of investing in Europe right now? Is it weighted in favor of the stock investor?
Well, for any business cycle, we'd say there are three phases. There's the downturn, the recession, the bounce back, a recovery, and then expansion, operating above your prior peak level of activity. And if we look at Europe, they're starting a recovery. You had a recession, and it was quite substantial. There were some financial issues that lingered into the last few years. Finally, you're getting to a point where you're seeing an economic recovery. Even in bad times, recoveries tend to happen. You may not get a long expansion. In other words, I don't think we can look at the euro area and say all the problems are fixed, that we've solved some of the differences in productivity growth rates or anything of that sort. But I think we can say that after a recession comes a recovery. Even in the Great Depression, that happened in the mid-30s. Even in Japan, over the past few decades, you've had rallies from depressed conditions. And I think that's the right way to look at Europe right now, is you're coming off a low base, you're getting back to just prior peak levels of output. And recovery is a nice tailwind to have, even if there are still structural problems, which I would tend to agree with.
Vinny, in that case, what's the best way, what's the most efficient way for an investor to make money?
I think what you want to do is, in terms of the investment vehicle, look at ETFs as giving you the broad exposure to various different sectors, regions, et cetera, styles that you're interested in. This reference is off of the point you had mentioned earlier, Pim, in regards to managing the overall portfolio and making the side bets along the way. I would start there and select whatever regions, et cetera, that you think work best, and then make those
larger bets. What about, for example, Japan? Because we noted that the Nikkei, right, over 16,000, the market there has gained about, I think, 48, 50% so far this year. Let's say you follow up on that risk theme, right? You say, all right, I want to go invest in some small cap stocks in Japan. How can I possibly do that?
If there are ETFs that enable you to do that, then that would be a way to go. I'm not sure that there are. If there aren't, then look for mutual funds that might be able to do that.
But pay attention to the cost, to the expense ratios?
Sure, exactly. And along the lines of one of your avid listeners who made an investment into the A shares of a given mutual fund, you may want to think long and hard about that because of the upfront fees, and look a little bit more towards the C shares, which have the lower charges to them and enable you to invest for lower costs.
What's the difference? How do those differences occur, whether you got A, B, or C shares, if it's still the same investment product?
You're going to have to talk to the mutual fund management to get the answer to that, and I would rather not make any disparaging statements in that regard.
Is there a general guide to how much you should expect to pay for a mutual fund? Because you don't want to start out and pay, 1-2%. You're already down 1-2% just to get back to even.
Well, you're better off looking at the C shares, which generally, except for the more difficult markets to navigate in that involve more investment-related analysis that have to be done, roughly around 0.75% to 1%. On the C share side, unless you're looking at no low type of funds, or ETFs, which are even lower in most cases, if you can do that, that would be the approach to do.
All right, I want to thank you, gentlemen, very much for joining me. We've got Vinny Catalano, president, global investment strategist, Blue Marble Research,
and happy holidays, everybody.
And thank you very much for being here many times on the program during the year. My thanks also to Don Rissmiller. He is the chief economist at Strategus Research Partners, giving us an outlook for 2014. You're listening to Taking Stock on Bloomberg Radio. I'm Pim Fox. You can follow me on Twitter at Pim Fox. And coming up, we're going to take stock of Twitter. The company has yet to turn a profit, yet that hasn't stopped people from buying the stock. We've got details coming up.
Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Carol Masser. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices. Taking Stock, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.